As we read the long story on 1 Kings and chapter 19 about Elijah and what happened with him. But as I always like to burden you with another homework when you go home, go and read the chapter before, chapter 18, where you see another big victory when what Elijah really did in a big victory over the whole nation. When he seemed the only one standing and saying, I believe in God, and everybody else, even including the king and the queen, they were on the other side. It's a huge, wonderful victory. It's amazing to go from this big victory to see a different image of Elijah on this verse. If I mention Elijah's name and ask you, what do you know about this man? Some will say, he is the prophet who prayed for rain and it rained. He is the man who prayed for fire and fire came from heaven. He is the man who ascended to heaven alive. And he appeared with Moses to support Jesus at the transfiguration. Is all of this enough information to know Elijah? I think so. If we are planning to make Elijah a presidential candidate, running for an official office, or even applying for a good job. But have we ever heard about a candidate who ran on the agendas of his or her weakness and mistakes? I don't think so, because we don't like to see or hear about our limitation or weakness as a human being. Or I will say, about our reality as a human being. Elijah is a real person and not a Superman. He is a person of victory and defeat, according to what we read today. Today, we'll hear about Elijah, the man of God, in one of his darkest moments, and maybe one of the most triumph moments of his life. In chapter 18, Elijah just made a big victory over the Baal prophets, which is the most famous idols for the Phoenicians, the ancient Phoenicians cultures. And we know all how this idol's worship came to Israel, because Jezebel, the queen, was a very strong believer of the Baal, who led the Israelites to worship idols. Elijah prayed to God to send fire from heaven, and he wanted to prove to the king of Israel and his wife and to everyone else in the nation that God is the only one. He is the one I follow. And in chapter 19, Jezebel, the wife of the king of Israel, was very angry. Really angry, and wanted to kill Elijah. She sent a messenger with a threat to Elijah. And let us think about that. Let's take a moment, think about a threat. Imagine if we are facing a threat or death, which is coming from the highest authority in the nation. How are we going to feel or react about that? The feelings of fear are reasonable and appropriate. Elijah was running for his life. Fear is sometimes part of our safety to learn about what's going on in our life. And fear is a lot of time keeps us alive. If it's related to what's really going on, is it really a real threat? And this is the question. Do we have a reason to be afraid from what we're really afraid of? Out of fear, Elijah ran away. Let's see what happened to somebody running on fear. Out of fear, Elijah ran away and left his only servant. And he came to Beersheba, which is the last place before reaching to the desert. He still had a chance to turn around, but he's still driven by fear. Now Elijah in the desert, alone, away from the threat, but still carrying the same fear. In the middle of the harsh desert, Elijah found something very strange. Found a tree so he can pray to God and catch his breath. It is very interesting to see a tree in the middle of the desert. But it's also interesting to think about that. As we think about, is God only of mystery, but also he's God of reason, who can invite us, shock us by a new reality. Is this a normal to walk every day on a desert and find a tree? And is this just a coincidence? Is it just happen every day? Or there is something I can listen to? Many things was a sign for Elijah to hear and see God is trying to approach him. By reaching this tree, Elijah was able to catch his breath. He was able to have some shade, to catch a moment of reflection through silence, and to pray to God and express and share his feeling with God. Under this tree, Elijah laid down and slept. Elijah told God he wanted to die. Then he went to sleep. It is a big surprise to see a man of big hope acting as a hopeless. A man of a big victory to act as a small man. The man who just lost in the chapter before, he was really encountering the whole nation, including the king and the queen. A man that become national hero is experiencing defeat and fear. After a while, the angel came and touched him and asked him to get up and eat. To reflect God's interest in us, as God is first, he's not only interested in what we do and how much we are bringing more business to God or doing God's business. He cares about us first. He wants him to stand again on his foot and be able to think and reflect. God provided a gentle touch and a food for Elijah to be capable to think clear, to go back to his clear mind. Elijah ate and went back to sleep under the tree. God provided a gentle touch again and food for the second time. But this time he told Elijah, "You eat this time, but you go, for something is waiting for you. There is a journey ahead of you. There is a plan. There is a road. You are eating, not just enjoy yourself here. You are gaining power and strength to go and work for God and for others. 40 days and 40 nights to get to the mountain of God where he spent his first night in the cave." And as we can see today, God's presence was silent, gentle, and was in direct way. And this was the challenge between the God we know and the God we still don't know. The God we know as a Jewish person, you know, God, that's the signs. When God appears, things are shaking, fire, big event, everything is really fearful. But God was surprising him and learning there is another part of God he didn't know, Elijah. And this is the challenge for us to think how to know God through only what we experience, and always to open the room and the window to know God behind that, and as I call it, the God of mystery too. They are not in contradiction, but they are feeling how much faith we have when only our reason and our interpretation could not fit to what we are looking for. There is a room when the mystery can be learned as a reason too. And here is Elijah still in God. Every time God is asking, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" "I'm very zealous for the word," and he was repeating and saying all these things three times. And it's very interesting, and it's reminding me of what happened with Adam and Cain and all the stories. God keeps chasing people and ask questions. And if God is repeating questions and keep chasing us, has no job. But he's telling us something. He's communicating in a different way. Maybe think deep. Maybe turn around. Maybe walk fast. Maybe slow down. Maybe listen carefully. Maybe listen to your own self, to your own words. And when you listen to Elijah's words, it has some of feeling like I am the only one here left. But God shocked him and told him that actually many prophets weren't appeared on the scene, but they're still worshiping God. what Elijah said was not the whole truth, because he didn't say anything about his fear. So God asked him again, and he answered the same answer. God did not debate or argue or confront Elijah, but he asked him, go back the way you came. Go back or return to yourself, to places guided by love and passion. Do not go to places and you think you are here for God. You are here because really you are controlled by your fear. Go to places with a different motives, by love and passion for ministry. You are not my people if you are controlled by fear. Even if we appear doing God's work, even if we appear a people who can pray and fast and do all these wonderful things, are we really controlled by love and caring for ourselves and others? Or it's about maybe fear from others and fear from God? Just as God was with Elijah on his life journey, let us remember he's with us today through the journey of this church to remind us every time we get strengths, we get uniqueness, and this was written all our survey. We are a very unique church. We are a very unique in many aspects. But be careful. Our strengths could be our first enemy more than our weakness. We are very careful about our weakness and we run and try to fix it. But this man was defeated after a big victory. He was really celebrated all over the nation. Even the king was really shaken by the power of this new hero and how people maybe will celebrate him and put him into a different power. The second day, he was really defeated. I didn't know if he felt proud of himself enough or he felt this is not fair because after this celebration, he needs to get more power. And this where reason could really struggle and give us a hard time. And this where reason say, if I want this, I should take this. If I want the victory over the king and the queen and the Baal, should everyone in Israel celebrate God? But this is not really what happened. Maybe he was mad at God and he couldn't say that. Maybe he was angry at, I work hard. I made myself vulnerable. I put myself on the line. And still people worshiping the Baal. And still the king and the queen in power. Still evil spread around. This is not an invitation to give up on ourselves or on God. But it's an invitation to think about God that works in different way. To see God's hand was stronger and clearer and powerful when he was that vulnerable and weak and running like a child in the desert trying to find somebody to protect him. You see, God is protecting, providing physical food and providing the place where he can stay, providing the light, providing everything he needs. God is clear and clearer in our weakness. God is powerful when we can be a human being and not a superman. God is walking with you and me in hard times and good times. God is talking to you even if we can't hear or understand. God is present in a gentle touch, in a good meal, in a gentle whisper, and in people who serve others from their hearts, not by fear, by love, and with a clear vision. Amen.